She was so bold in relaying what she wanted from me, her hesitation is unexpected and surprisingly alluring. I have a visceral ache, a bone-deep desire to be the one to help her cross this bridge. Don't be nervous, sunshine. It's just you and me. I stroke myself, and her eyes shift to watch. Like what you see? Show me how much. Let me see what it does to you. Show me what you wish I was doing to you. Her chest rises with her heavier breaths as her fingers slide through her slick, swollen sex. That's it, baby. So damn sexy. I stroke myself faster, and her fingers match my pace. Rub your clit, baby. I want to see you come. Her gaze flicks to mine, cheeks burning again. You want me to... More than I want my next breath. Make yourself come, and I promise when I get inside you, I'll make you come twice as hard. Her eyes widen, then narrow. Then you'd better not make yourself come, which might be difficult because I want to keep watching you do that. There's my bold girl. Have you not noticed that I have supreme control? I drip spit into my palm and fist my cock, giving her some incentive. She licks her lips, her fingers quickening. That's it, baby. God, she's so fucking sexy, watching me stroke myself and teasing her clit. Her legs flex and her breathing turns ragged. Good girl. Almost there. I reach down, pushing my fingers into her slick heat, quickly finding the spot that makes her toes curl under and her eyes flutter closed. Her hips rise off the mattress, and a loud, surrendering moan flies from her lips. Consumed with her pleasure, I release my cock and go down on her, feasting and fucking her with my fingers, sending her right back up to the peak of ecstasy. As she comes down from the high, she sinks into the mattress, breathing hard.
I can't believe you got me to do that.
That was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I come down over her and kiss her softly. Thank you for trusting me enough to do that. Embarrassment colors her cheeks, but a challenge rises in her eyes.
You'd better live up to that promise you made.
I won't let you down, sunshine. I kiss her again and roll on the condom. Her arms circle me as I lower myself down and kiss her. Pushing my arms beneath her, I cradle her against me, thrusting slowly, savoring every sensation as her tight body stretches to swallow inch after inch until I'm buried deep. Heat flares in my chest. Holy hell. It's like her body was made for mine.
Fletch!
Falls desperately from her lips as Des spills from mine. She folds her arms over the back of my neck, whispering,
Don't move. Just kiss me.
Fuck. She feels too good not to move, but I seal my mouth over hers, trying to redirect my carnal urges. My tongue plunges deep and demanding. She tastes of lust and need and something deep and soft and new. I want to chase that taste like an addiction. Her sinful noises claw at me as we devour each other. My cock throbs inside her, making it even harder to hold back. I've got to move, baby. I grit out.
Okay.
She tugs my mouth to hers, and we lose ourselves in another passionate kiss as we find our rhythm. We pump and grind, every thrust taking me higher, closer to the edge. Her body's tight as a vise, and I can't get enough of her. I push my hands beneath her hips, angling them, taking her deeper.
Yes!
She cries out and grabs my ass, her fingernails digging into my flesh.
Harder!
I hike her legs over the backs of mine, driving into her with everything I have. She's as feverish as I am, groping, clawing, clutching, touching, biting. I feel her tension mounting in the press of her nails into my flesh, in the flexing of her thighs, and I know she's close, but I also know she might have trouble getting there. As much as I love being in control and want to go wild until I'm blinded by the need to come, I crave her pleasure more than my own. That realization startles me, but as our mouths come together in a feast of fervor, it's the only thought that matters, and I want to see her passion playing out. I want you to ride me. I cradle her in my arms and roll beneath her, making her giggle as she straddles me. Her thick blonde hair tumbles around her beautiful face, white-hot desire flaming in her eyes. She runs her hands over my pecs and plants them just below my shoulders as she begins to move, perky tits bouncing, hips gyrating. She leans forward, her hair falling into our faces as we kiss, and her fucking mouth casts its spell. I lose myself in her, possessing and consuming her mouth until she breaks away with a needy sound and rides me harder. I grip her hip in one hand, helping her move faster, using my other hand between her legs as she rides my cock. I grit my teeth against the need to come as her eyes close and her head falls back. I quicken my efforts and reach up with my other hand, squeezing her nipple just hard enough to send her orgasm crashing over her. She cries out, loud and unencumbered, as her inner muscles clamp tight and perfect around me, severing my control. Heat sears down my spine and my release barrels into me like a bullet train. Destiny flies from my lungs like a curse, and I ride out our passion in a hailstorm of fractured thoughts and scintillating sensations. When she collapses over me, sated and trusting, I wrap her in my arms and kiss her, trying to outrun the depth of emotions I saw brimming in her eyes and the ones she's stirring in me.
Chapter 15. Destiny. A lion Fletch's arms in a blissful state of disbelief as we try to catch our breath, and the last of the tremors moves through me. I've never been touched so thoroughly or experienced so much pleasure. He was so intent on making me feel good, it made me want it that much more.
You're awfully quiet, Sunshine. What's going on in that head of yours?
Fireworks. No wonder Barbie stuck with Ken for so long. His body tenses up around me.
I'm not your forever guy, Destiny.
I know, you're... Our fireworks conversation comes back to me like a slap in the face. Oh, no. I didn't mean I saw fireworks because I'm in love with you. Ruby was wrong. You don't have to be in love to see fireworks. You just need to be with someone you trust. Someone who's patient and determined and talented. I swear, you made the earth shake. I felt explosions and saw lights. I didn't even know my body was capable of feeling that good. And for your information, I like you a lot, Fletch, but being the orgasm king does not wipe out all the other items on my checklist.
That's a relief.
His head falls back, and he closes his eyes like he's dodged a bullet. Hey! I swat him, and he catches my hand, pressing it against his chest with amusement in his eyes. He's so freaking cute with his hair all messy and a goofy smile. I'll have you know there are plenty of guys who would like for me to fall in love with them and be proud to be my checklist guy. I don't know who they are, but I'm sure they're out there somewhere waiting for a girl that's chatty and creative and maybe a little disorganized and impulsive who has love for all kinds of things. He pulls me into a kiss.
Can we not bring other guys into bed with us?
I'm just making a point.
Point taken, Sunshine.
He rolls onto his side, pulling me against him.
I'm sorry for acting off today.
You should be. Why didn't you just say something?
What could I say that wouldn't make me sound like a dick?
The truth usually works. His brows slant.
Not in my experience.
That's because you haven't been with a super awesome girl like me. If the women you've been hanging out with don't appreciate honesty, it's no wonder you don't want love in your life. But I can assure you, honesty always works for me. And if we're going to be the kind of friends who sleep together, I need honesty across the board. He tucks my hair behind my ear, kissing me softly.
You may say that, but I don't think you mean it.
Yes, I do. When I hugged you hello, you could have said you'd been thinking about kissing me all night, and I would have done a happy dance and told you to kiss me right then. You could have saved me hours of overthinking and saved yourself hours of acting guarded again.
In what world do friends greet each other by revealing something like that?
I don't know. It sounded good in my head.
I bet it did,
he says playfully.
But let's take that Destiny Amour greeting one step further and assume my interpretation of your texts was correct. If that were the case, and I'd said what you just suggested, you would have felt like I was pushing for something you didn't want. See the issue?
That does make sense, but I still think talking about things is better than not.
I'll try to work on that.
He kisses me again.
I'll be right back.
He climbs from the bed, gloriously naked. He has a ridiculously fine ass, and each cheek is marred with my scratches. Thanks for the inspiration, I call out as he saunters toward the bathroom. He looks back at me and lifts his chin in question. I'm adding must-have squeezable peach to my checklist. He grins and shakes his head as he disappears into the bathroom. I flop onto my back, giddily happy, and roll onto my side before slipping off the bed. I pull his t-shirt over my head, getting a whiff of his spicy scent, and those hummingbirds take flight in my chest again. I'm picking up my panties when he comes out of the bathroom, his formidable cock hanging between his muscular thighs.
You look cute in my shirt.
He pulls me into his arms and kisses me.
Shirt thief.
Do you mind? Mine's downstairs.
Not at all.
Good, because it's soft, and I like that it smells like you. I'll be right back. I turn toward the bathroom, and he smacks my ass. I squeal and try to glower at him, but it's kind of hard when he looks so relaxed and happy. After using the bathroom and washing up, I take a good look at myself in the mirror. I feel so light inside, I expect to look different, but the only difference I see is an unstoppable smile. When I come out of the bathroom, he's wearing shorts, but he's still shirtless. Thank you, Lord. I do have a thing for his chest. It's broad and strong, but not too muscular, and that dusting of chest hair is irresistible. I go to him and run my fingers through it. Thanks for showing me what I've been missing.
My pleasure.
He lowers his lips to mine in a deep, delicious kiss.
Are you hungry?
Starved. Want me to whip something up? With a wolfish grin, he tugs me closer.
The only thing I want your hands busy with is me.
I'm gifted another toe-curling kiss. You won't hear me complaining.
How about we order a pizza?
He fishes his cell phone out of his jeans. Yum, my favorite feel-good dinner. Pineapple and steak, please.
Is that even a combination option?
If you ask nice enough, it is. As we head for the stairs, he puts a hand on my back. You'd think after having his hands all over me, that touch wouldn't feel so intimate, but it does, and I revel in it.
Please tell me you don't greet your pizza delivery guys the way you suggested I greet you.
Only the cute ones. He smacks my butt again, and I run down the last few stairs, only to be met with sloppy doggy kisses. I giggle and crouch to love Molly up.
What the hell?
She's just happy to see. My voice trails off as I push to my feet and see shreds of my shirt and bra strewn across the living room.
Shit.
Fletch heads for Molly, and I frantically start picking up the pieces of fabric. It's not her fault. She's just mad that I took you away from her. I turn around, and my heart stutters. He's crouched next to Molly with his arm around her, speaking quietly.
I'm sorry, Moll. I shouldn't have locked you out of the room, but you know better than to eat clothes.
His gaze moves to me, and his voice grows thick with concern.
I've got to take her to the emergency vet before it gets into her intestines.
I'll go with you. I head for the stairs, and he stays where he is.
Would you mind getting me a shirt so she doesn't run up there? They're in the second drawer in my dresser. And grab my socks and sneakers, please.
Okay. I take the steps two at a time, hoping Molly is okay. Half an hour later, we're waiting in the emergency veterinary clinic while they x-ray Molly. Fletch finally stops pacing and sits beside me, worrying with his hands, his leg bouncing nervously. I put my hand on his leg. He covers it with his own, interlacing our fingers and holding tight. I'm sorry, I should have brought my things upstairs.
It's not the first time she's eaten something she shouldn't, but usually it's socks.
He bumps my shoulder.
Or bows.
I wince. I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. I know better than to leave clothing where she can get to it. And you were right. She was jealous. My room is her room, too. She sleeps with me every night, and I never shut her out.
Ever? Not even... I can't bring myself to finish the sentence and ask about the other women he's casually dated. It's none of my business. He shakes his head.
I don't bring women back to my place. It's not fair to Molly.
That might be one of the most telling things I've learned about him yet. Then why did you bring me inside? I would have understood if you said you wanted to go to my place or if you left the bedroom door open. He leans closer, speaking gruff and low.
Because I couldn't have waited another second to get my hands on you. And I love my dog, but I didn't want her anywhere near your naked body.
The vehemence in his voice makes me feel warm and squishy inside. I tuck that away, along with the other special things about Fletch I've learned, like how good he made me feel and how deeply he loves Molly.
Next time, we'll go to your place.
I love that he wants a next time, but I keep that to myself. We can't do that to Molly. She spends all day without you, and you're her person. She'll miss you too much. What if we give her some of her favorite treats, or a special antler to chew on, and leave the bedroom door open? Do you think that will help? He shakes his head.
You're really something, Sunshine. Most people would say she's a dog. Put her outside.
He lifts our joined hands and presses a kiss to the back of mine.
We'll figure it out.
I feel bad for her. I hope she's okay.
She will be, one way or another. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for sticking around.
Do you really think I'd let you go through this by yourself or leave without knowing if Molly was okay? What kind of friend would that make me? He kisses my temple and I lean against his side, tossing up more silent prayers for Molly. A while later, Dr. Wilkinson, the veterinarian, comes into the waiting area with Molly trotting beside him. We push to our feet and Fletch tightens his hold on my hand.
Molly did great, Dr. Wilkinson assures us. She swallowed one fairly good-sized piece of fabric, but it was still in her stomach. We induced vomiting and she threw it right up.
Thank goodness, I say.
There's nothing in her intestines, Fletch asks.
No, she should be good to go,
he pets Molly.
Her stomach will be a little irritated, so take her food and water away overnight. If she seems fine in the morning, you can give her small amounts of water and some bland food and take your cues from her. She shouldn't have any issues, but if you notice anything, give us a call.
Thank you.
Fletch shakes his hand and takes Molly's leash. As Dr. Wilkinson walks away, we love up Molly.
You gave us quite a scare, Moll. How about we don't do that again?
Fletch drops a kiss on her forehead. I won't come between you and your daddy again, I whisper, petting her. I'm not ready to leave them yet, but I'm sure Fletch wants to decompress and spend time alone with Molly. Besides, it was my clothes she ate, which makes me a reminder of what she's just been through. Do you want to drop me off on the way home? As we head out the door, he drapes his arm over my shoulder.
Are you sick of us, Sunshine?
Not at all.
In that case, how about we get that pizza and chill for a while with Molly?
Happiness skips through me. I'd like that.
Fletch. We're four episodes into The Office when Destiny snuggles deeper into my side on the couch, moving her hand from my leg to pet Molly, who's lying on my other side with her head on my lap. What a turn today has taken. I feel like a boomerang. This morning I was reluctantly heading in one direction, putting space between me and Destiny. Now I'm nestled between my favorite four-legged girl and the woman who's quickly becoming my favorite two-legged girl, with my feet up on the coffee table beside an empty pint of Cherry Garcia ice cream and two spoons in an empty pizza box. I didn't even realize how badly I wanted to be here. I could have done without the incident with Molly, of course, but that's my own damn fault. I wasn't thinking. Well, I was. But not about anything other than getting Destiny naked. And Jesus. Sex with Destiny is out of this fucking world. I don't know if it's because of how close we've gotten at breakneck speed, or her sexy mix of innocence and seductiveness, or something else altogether, but sex has never felt so intense. As the episode comes to an end, I reach beside my leg for the controller, and Destiny puts her hand over mine, wide eyes gazing hopefully at me.
Just one more episode. I love the scenes with Pam and Jim, and I really want to see if they get to get...
A yawn swallows her voice. She's so damn cute. That's exactly what she said after each of the last two episodes. I've seen the whole series before, but this is her first time watching it. I don't dare tell her she has to watch a few more seasons before she gets her answer. I'd be happy to sit here all night playing with the ends of her hair while she binges the show just so I can hear her giggles, awes, and ongoing commentary. She talks to the characters like they might actually listen to her. I have a feeling that as much as she likes the idea of all-consuming death till you part love, she's enjoying the anticipation of hoping Pam and Jim come together too. The next episode starts and she snuggles in again.
Thanks for watching another one with me. I promise to leave right after it's over.
She made the same promise after the two previous episodes. I had forgotten how nice it is to enjoy the company of a woman like this. I'm not ready for our night to end, but the angel on my shoulder reminds me that I don't want to give Destiny the wrong impression. The less angelic creature on my other shoulder says it's just one night and reminds me that we've more than cleared the air about where we stand. Destiny's voice whispers through my mind, underscoring that reminder.
That's a ravine not easily crossed, and certainly not by a man who doesn't nail nearly every item on my checklist. Being the orgasm king does not wipe out all the other items on my checklist.
My competitive side hates that I could fall short in anything, but that's just my ego talking. The man behind the ego would much rather have the title Orgasm King than Forever Guy. Having convinced myself that one night together is safe, I press a kiss to her head. I think Molly wants you to stay. She glances up at me.
You think Molly does, huh?
Look at her. I nod at Molly, who looks perfectly content with my arm over her back and Destiny's hand resting beside her head. She's had a rough night. She deserves a little extra attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll stay.
We settle in to watch the show. When her hand slips off Molly's head to my leg, I cover it with my own, holding her a little closer. I'm glad you're staying. Is on the tip of my tongue, but when I speak, thanks for staying for Molly, whispers out.
Chapter 16. Destiny. Awake to the tickle of dog fur on one cheek and Fletch's breath warm in my other. I'm trapped between them. Literally. Molly's lying on top of the covers, her big body pressed against my side. I'm beneath the covers from chest to toes, but Fletch has somehow managed to bunch up the covers between us around my legs. His upper body is under the covers, his arm resting on my stomach, his hand cupping my boob, and his leg is bent at the knee, trapping both of mine beneath it. I don't move for fear of waking them. We stayed up late watching The Office. And after finally coming upstairs, we fooled around again with Molly sleeping across the bottom of the bed. I've never laughed so much during sex, or rather had the urge to laugh and tried to silence it. We were trying not to move too much or make too much noise, so as not to wake Molly. But Fletch is over 6 feet tall, and sharing a bed with an 85-pound dog means far less foot room. Just thinking about how hard we tried not to laugh, shushing each other and covering our mouths makes me laugh, and it bubbles out too fast to stop it. I clamp my mouth shut, but it's too late. Molly rolls over, and her front legs land on my stomach and Fletch's arm, earning an oomph from me and startling Fletch awake. He groans, trying to push her away as she covers our faces in slobbery kisses. Now I'm even more trapped, and all I can do is crack up.
Come on, Molly. That's enough.
Fletch lovingly pushes her off my chest, and she plops down beside me. He leans over me and pets her.
Good girl.
I love that he's such a softie for her. The Those amused baby blues find me, and my stomach flip-flops. I tell myself it has nothing to do with the way he's exuding some new disarming charm, or the incredibly fun, sexy times we shared last night, and that it's only happening because I'm seeing him in a different light than the usual perfectly put-together Fletch. His hair is sticking up all over, his sleepy expression is devastatingly sexy, and his scruff has thickened, giving him an edgier vibe. But I know it's a mirage. He'll shower and shave, and an hour from now he'll be back to normal. My stomach will settle, and the vibration in my chest will stop.
Sorry about Molly.
He leans in and kisses me. She's fine. I'm in her bed, not the other way around. What time are you leaving to go fishing?
I'm usually gone by now.
Oops, sorry.
I'm not. It was worth it. I'll just get a late start.
Do you want me to take care of Molly for the day?
Thanks, but I'm taking her with me. She's my fishing buddy.
Lucky Molly. Where do you go? Sugar Lake? Sugar Lake is in Sweetwater.
No, too close to civilization for us. We like peace and quiet. We're going to Lake Whatchacallit.
Did you say Whatchacallit? That can't be real.
It's a real lake, but it's a fake name. When we were younger, my brothers and I couldn't remember the name of it, so it became Lake Whatchacallit.
That's adorable. I love that you still call it that. My dad used to take me fishing. We never caught much, but we had fun. His brows slant.
Do you want to tag along? It's an hour's drive, and it'll be a long day in the sun, baiting hooks and entertaining Molly. It might not be your cup of tea. It can be buggy, and there aren't any public restrooms, but there are plenty of woods.
If I've learned one thing about Fletch, it's that he's as much of a realist as I am a dreamer. I'm fairly certain he's trying to prepare me, not dissuade me, but I can't help teasing him. Wow, you really know how to make a girl feel wanted.
You know I wouldn't invite you if I didn't want you to go with us.
Do I, though?
Who knew you were so high maintenance?
He gives me a quick kiss and clears his throat.
Miss Amore, Molly and I would be honored if you'd join us for a day of fishing.
I lift my chin. I don't know if I should. You didn't warn me that you were part octopus, and that makes me wonder what else I'll find out about you if I let you take me to a remote location.
Part octopus? What are you talking about?
Don't play coy with me, Ryan Fletcher. Do you usually glom all over Molly the way you glommed on me?
I didn't glom on you.
What would you call it?
Not that. I was...
Don't even try to pretend you were spooning me, because you have way too many prongs to be a spoon. He plops onto his back.
Shit. I was glomming, wasn't I?
He gives me a stern look.
What the hell, Sunshine? What did you do to me?
Me? Fess up. You usually sleep with a big teddy bear, don't you? Where's it hiding? Under your bed? In your closet? He laughs, and as he drapes his leg over me again, I catch sight of his feet. His second toe is bigger than his first, and it has a bulbous tip. Uh-oh, Ken is defective. He needs to go back to the factory.
What? Why?
He follows my gaze, and I quickly look away from his foot. Nothing. Never mind. I press my lips together. He tickles my ribs, making me laugh.
Spit it out, Sunshine.
It's your toes. You've got a long second toe with a big ball at the end. I want to clip it off at the last knuckle.
Clip it off?
He lifts his foot and looks at it.
What's wrong with having a longer second toe?
Look at it. It doesn't look like it belongs with the others. Don't you want me to... I make scissor motions with two fingers.
No. In fact, from here on out, you're not going anywhere near me with scissors, or knives, or metal nail files.
We both laugh. I pull my foot out from beneath the covers, showing him my toes. See how mine are angled in height with the big toe being the longest? You have to admit my toes make much more sense.
Mine make perfect sense.
Oh, please, look how cute my toes are. I wiggle them.
Are you toe-shaming me? Because for a girl who claims to have love for all kinds of things, you don't seem to have any love for long second toes.
I lower my foot, feigning a pout. Now you're just making me feel bad.
I'm making you feel bad. I'm not the one with the neat feet requirement.
I told you to forget what's on my checklist, didn't I?
I only wish I could.
Not that it matters, since you're you. But with the exception of those two shameful toes, you do have neat feet.
Don't try to backpedal, he teases.
I'm not. They're clean, your nails are clipped, and the tops aren't all hairy, which is good.
You're totally backpedaling.
He moves over me, pinning my hands beside my head.
Now you're in trouble.
He kisses my neck. Molly shoves her big head between us, trying to lick my cheek. I close my eyes and mouth, turning away, trying not to laugh.
All right, you big cock blocker, off.
He points to the floor, and Molly leaps off the bed. He takes a quick visual sweep of the floor, but we were careful to ensure nothing was left out last night. When he gazes down at me, his eyes smolder.
That's better.
His voice is liquid heat, and my body floods with awareness. He presses his lips to mine, light as a feather, and trails kisses to my ear, whispering,
I finally have you all to myself,
sending rivers of heat slithering through my core. He nips at my earlobe, and I inhale sharply. Before I catch my breath, he seals his mouth over my neck, sucking, licking, and nipping until my entire body is on fire, and I'm a writhing, moaning, needy mess of desire. You're driving me crazy. Kiss me. He crushes his mouth to mine, rough and urgent, grinding his hard length against my panties, and I know they're going to melt off. I'm right there with him, clutching his arms, his back, his incredibly firm butt. I spread my legs wider, wanting so much more. He makes a guttural, lustful noise.
I'm obsessed with your mouth,
he growls. And as our mouths fuse together, I think I'm worse off than he is. I can't get enough of any part of him. He slows us down, grinding against that sensitive bundle of nerves, kissing me deep and sensually. I feel like I'm going to come, but I know that's impossible. I chase the sensations, rocking against him, kissing him harder, until I can't stand it anymore, and I tear my mouth away, begging with everything I have. I need you inside me. He moves faster than lightning, stripping off our clothes and sheathing his length, and enters into me in one hard thrust. I cry out a loud, indiscernible sound, and Molly barks, but Fletch doesn't miss a beat. He captures my moans and gasps as we pound out a frantic rhythm. I'm swept up in him, in his demanding kisses, his strong hands gripping, clutching, lifting, angling, and his talented cock stroking over that magical spot inside me that has my toes curling under and my insides drawing up tight. When he pushes his hand between us, working my clit to perfection, the rest of the world falls away and I detonate, surrendering to erotic bursts and explosions that rival the 4th of July. As Fletch gives in to his own powerful release, gritting out,
sunshine, sunshine, sunshine,
like a mantra. And then I'm floating through a gust of erotic sensations, my body prickling and shuddering as I come down from the clouds, and he groans through the last of his release, collapsing over me. He gathers me in his arms, lavishing me with kisses, and my heart soaks up every one of them as he murmurs against my cheeks and lips.
God, sunshine, so good.
I don't want to let go, don't want to miss a second of this feeling, but my arms are so tired from clinging to him so tightly. They flop to my sides like wet noodles, and I pant out, you're ruining me.
For?
I don't know. The truth brings a heaviness to my chest. Whoever comes after you. His brows knit and an incredulous chuckle falls from his lips as he dips his head beside mine and sinks his teeth into my neck. I gasp, hey, what was that for? He looks at me with a cross between a serious and amused expression.
What did I tell you about bringing other guys into bed with us?
His words eased the weight of the truth, drawing a smile. I meant it as a compliment.
I can see I'm going to need to keep your mouth much busier.
Fletch. To say we got a late start would be an understatement. We didn't end up leaving Harmony Point until after 11. Destiny had to go home to get ready and to feed and give attention to Clementine, since she worried her cat had missed her last night. While she was there, she insisted on packing a picnic lunch, snacks for us and Molly, blankets, towels, and who knows what else she has in her bag. For a woman who was flying by the seat of her pants in business, she has outing organization down pat. Although, I have to admit, she's done an impressive 180 with her business. She spent the hour's drive to the lake making a list of all the places she wanted to call to price out the event for Arjun and mapping out her week, which included a follow-up call with a potential client she picked up last week. She is definitely more focused and determined to do it right. But fishing? Not so much. I glance at her, a good distance downstream from me in her skimpy cutoffs and white bikini top with green polka dots, wading through knee-high water, using her fishing rod like a maestro's baton as she sings Taylor Swift's The One. I can't be sure if it's her traipsing through the water or her singing that's scaring the fish away, but I don't think she knows how to be still unless she's exhausted. In the couple of hours since we arrived at the lake, Destiny has eaten lunch while walking along the rocky shoreline with Molly on her heels, thrown a ball with Molly, sung Heart Attack, Girl on Fire, and about 50 other off-key pop songs, and a few country songs, too. I caught myself humming along to some of them, and Molly looked at me like she didn't recognize me. Join the club. I don't recognize myself most of the time when I'm around Destiny either. She's cast some sort of spell over me. I haven't woken up next to a woman in a decade. Last night, after she fell asleep, I lay awake for a while wondering what the hell I was doing and worrying I'd be a dick to her in the morning. Not that I wanted to, but I'm not used to having someone in my space, much less in my bed. Sharing a bed during sex is one thing, but I had all sorts of scenarios in my head about waking up feeling suffocated and wanting her to leave. I was surprised this morning when I woke up happy she was there. Then again, I don't know how anyone could wake up to that smile and her sweet demeanor and not be in a good mood. I keep waiting for that oh shit moment to hit, but she's dangerously fun to be with. Destiny spins around, flashing her pearly whites as she pushes her oversized sunglasses to the bridge of her nose, and Molly pops to her feet. Destiny's skin is sun-kissed. The lighter blonde streaks in her hair shimmer in the afternoon sun, making her eyebrows look even darker. It's mind-boggling how much more beautiful she gets each day. She starts singing a slower song. I feel like I've heard it before, but other than a line about buying dirt, the lyrics don't ring a bell. "Sing with me," she urges. "Not gonna happen, sunshine." "Party pooper," she begins singing again. "Find a honey you can't breathe without. Buy her a diamond and drop to your knee. Something about pencil marks and growing grass and guys who have a great ass. I laugh. You should go on tour. "They'll call me off-key Destiny and people will come from miles around to hear me sing." "I'd buy a front row ticket." "You'd better buy two, one for you and one for Molly. She loves my singing. Right, Mo?" Molly barks and bounds into the water, splashing Destiny, who simply tucks the fishing rod under her arm and showers her with attention. "That's my good girl. You're going to need to come see me at work after this." They both look so happy. I take out my phone and snap a picture of them. Destiny notices and bends down, wrapping her arm around Molly's neck and grinning as I take another. Then she kisses Molly's head, says, "Come on, Moll," and runs through the shallow water chased by my pooch. My phone vibrates with a text from Piper. Piper: "Sorry I didn't get back to you yesterday. Frankie threw my phone and it landed in Jiggs's water bowl. Don't ask." Frankie is Piper and her husband Harley's almost one-year-old daughter, and Jiggs is their very spoiled dog. Fletch: "She's got your temper." Piper:
And Harley's love for Jigs. She wasn't mad. She was throwing it to Jigs so he could use it. Is your friend still looking for someone to build that tower?
Fletch, yes. Piper,
I have a crazy week. Is it urgent?
Fletch, sort of. She needs to get a price so she can get budget approval from her client. If you don't have time, do you think Case would be interested? Case Force is a contractor who works for Piper. Piper,
I'll make it happen. Is she around today?
Fletch, yes, we're out now, but we'll be heading back that way later. Piper,
can you bring her by my house? Anytime after 4 is good.
Fletch, absolutely. I'll text when we're on our way. Thanks, I appreciate it. Piper, thumbs up emoji.
And don't think I didn't notice the we.
As I pocket my phone, Destiny parks a hand on her hip, a mannerism I've already come to associate with her, and looks out at the lake.
What is going on with the fish? We've been here for hours and haven't caught a darn thing.
She glances back at me.
Know what my daddy would say?
That you're scaring them off? What?
Fish don't get to grow big by being stupid.
I chuckle and reel in my line.
My mama used to say that's why they call it fishing and not catching.
Smart woman. Hey, Piper finally texted back. We can stop by and see her on the way back into town.
She did? Yay!
She walks out of the water with Molly, and as Destiny sets down her rod, Molly shakes off the water, splattering her.
Molly!
I holler, but Destiny's carefree laughter drowns me out.
It's fine. Did you know dogs shake off like that near us because they love us?
I set down my fishing rod and grab a towel for her. Who told you that lie? As I hand her the towel, I lean in and kiss her. As soon as our lips touch, I realize I probably shouldn't have done it.
It's not a lie. It's a doggy love ritual.
Why does she have to find love in everything? I grit my teeth. She tosses the towel onto one of the chairs I brought and goes up on her toes, winding her arms around my neck.
You can relax, no love, Gus. Kisses between friends who are enjoying the benefits of fake dating aren't going to make me dream of walking down an aisle to you.
She presses her lips to mine as if to emphasize her point. I'm relieved, but now I feel like an asshole. Partly because I hate that she noticed a reaction from me, and partly because apparently my ego has decided to be a dick where she's concerned, and it wants to claim all the titles even if I don't want them. I'm well versed in shutting down emotions, so I kick my ego to the curb, and then I tie the fucker up so he can no longer annoy me. I put my arms around Destiny and touch my forehead to hers. Sorry for acting like an ass. I gaze down at her. I'm afraid I don't know where to draw the line. I don't spend time like this with women I casually date.
You don't?
She asks incredulously. I shake my head. I might take them to dinner or out for drinks, but that's about it.
Then it's a good thing I'm your friend, because according to my dating handbook, you've got casual dating all wrong. But don't worry, I'll make it my mission to train you properly.
I cock a brow. Train me?
You know, show you the ropes.
Wait, are you telling me Little Miss All About Love has experience with casual dating?
Well,
her eyes spark with mischief.
It's recent and more along the lines of fake dating a friend, but I think it's similar enough that the rules can be the same.
No, they can't. I'm not as good of friends with the women I casually date as I am with you. You don't have a hidden agenda, and in my experience, most women go into casual dating hoping for more, even when they deny it, so I don't want them hanging out at night with me and Molly or fishing with us.
You know you have major trust issues toward women, don't you?
Yep. Her eyes narrow, and she lowers her hands from around my neck.
And I'm not good at hiding things, which is why you're okay with our arrangement, isn't it?
I hadn't put the two together, but it probably has something to do with why I originally spent so much time helping you. But now that I know you better, I like you, and I trust you.
Good, because you should, so you can stop worrying. The way I see it, we already set up guidelines about the future, so we can do anything we want without worrying it'll be taken wrong, including kissing in public if we feel like it.
Her brow wrinkles.
Unless you don't want that?
What I want is not to worry about every little thing we say and do, So as long as we're on the same page with this thing not leading to more... I tug her back into my arms and lower my lips to hers, giving us both my answer. My cell rings, and I groan. What is this, Grand Central? She giggles and heads over to the picnic basket while I answer the call. Molly follows her like she's the Pied Piper. Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Good. How are you? I watch Destiny open a bag of chips and walk back into the water as she eats them. Molly lies down at the water's edge, watching her.
I'm fine. Your father and I just got back from a nice walk. What are you up to today?
I'm fishing. Destiny drops a chip into the water, and she bends at the waist like she's studying it.
How nice! I'm glad you're taking a break. You work so hard. Are you at your cabin or at Lake Whatchacallit?
Lake Whatchacallit. Destiny purposefully drops another chip into the water.
Oh my gosh! The fish like chips! Fletch!
She spins around, sees I'm still on the phone, and covers her mouth as Molly bolts into the water, splashing her, and we both laugh, the sound ringing out.
Who's with you?
My mother asks.
Is that Destiny?
Yes, she came fishing with us. Destiny looks over and points at Molly, then at the potato chips. She steeples her hands, mouthing,
please, just one.
I nod, silently reiterating, one. She wiggles her shoulders and gives Molly a chip.
How wonderful that she likes fishing, too. Chuck said she's quite an impressive young lady, and from what he and Jimmy have said, she seems like a bundle of southern sass and charm. Did you know she baked him cookies to thank him for helping her?
Yeah, I know. She's a sweet one.
It's been a long time since I've heard you sound this relaxed and happy. I don't want to keep you from her. I just called to give you the date for your father's birthday dinner. We're thinking of doing it next Friday at 6 at Rich's Restaurant. Do you think you and Destiny can make it? We're anxious to meet her.
I don't know what her schedule is, but I'll be there.
Okay, sweetheart. Let me know this week if you can, so I can make reservations. Tell Destiny I look forward to meeting her whenever she has the time. Have fun today. Love you.
Love you too, Mom. I end the call and glance at Destiny eating chips as she walks through ankle-deep water with Molly, singing about someone bringing her coffee in the morning and bringing them inner peace. I realize with surprise that I wouldn't mind if she came with me to dinner with my family, but I'm not about to commit to that.
Chapter 17. Destiny. Fletch offers me his hand as I climb out of his Range Rover at Piper's house in Sweetwater. He looks handsome and comfortable in a gray t-shirt and navy shorts. He's sporting a tan that makes his eyes pop, and he didn't shave or trim his scruff this morning after all, making him even more irresistible. You sure it's okay to show up like this? I look down at my white t-shirt, which has a giant sunflower on it, but it isn't so white anymore. We should have stopped to get a bottle of wine or something to thank her for seeing us on a Sunday.
You look beautiful, and there's no need for a gift. She's a friend.
He opens the back door and Molly jumps out. All the more reason to be grateful.
If you really feel the need to give her something, my brother loved the cookies you gave him. Maybe you can bake some for Piper at some point. She's a real sugar fiend.
Perfect. He puts his hand on my back, and we head up the walk with Molly.
Don't be surprised if she gives me a hard time.
I stop cold. Why? Did you pressure her into meeting me today? I don't want to bother her if she's busy or doesn't want to help. I can find someone else to build the tower.
It's not that, Sunshine. Piper is Piper. I don't make a habit of bringing women around, and she's nosy and sarcastic and unfiltered.
Oh, you meant that kind of hard time? Then what are you worried about? We should get along just fine.
Yeah, you're probably right.
We head up to the door.
By the way, her husband Harley is Marshall's older brother.
He is? Do they know we're going to the wedding together? His jaw ticks.
I doubt it. Marshall's not one to gossip.
Want me to play up the wedding date?
How about you just be yourself?
He knocks, and a dog barks inside. Molly whines excitedly, tail wagging as the door opens. We're greeted by a petite woman with straight shoulder-length blonde hair and a cute baby bump,
holding an adorable little girl with wispy golden brown hair and big blue eyes. A pit bull barrels past her onto the porch. I stumble backward, and Fletch sweeps his arm around my waist, pulling me away from the dogs and holding me against him as they bark and jump on each other, causing the baby girl to squeal with delight. Should we have left Molly in the SUV? I ask frantically.
No, she's fine,
he says in my ear and presses a kiss beside it as the woman yells, Harley, call Jigs. A loud whistle comes from within the house and Jigs and Molly bolt inside.
Go on out back, you rascals,
a deep voice booms from within the house. Sorry about that, she looks curiously at Fletch, whose arm is still belted around me. You must be Destiny. I'm Piper, and this is Frankie. Welcome to our madhouse. It's nice to meet you both. I look at Frankie, who's wearing a cute yellow romper. Aren't you precious? I tickle her bare foot, and she giggles. I hope I don't smell like the lake. We were fishing, and I didn't have time to clean up. Fishing, huh? Isn't that interesting? She glances at Fletch, who shakes his head. We're a household full of dog hair and diapers with a boat out back, so if you do smell like the lake, you'll fit right in. She steps aside. Come on in. Fletch's hand moves to my back again as he follows me in. Your friend, huh? Piper says with a snort laugh as he walks by.
Let it go, Pipe, he warns.
Eh, eh, eh.
The baby rocks forward and back, reaching two grabby hands toward Fletch.
Give me that little nugget.
The second Frankie is in Fletch's arms, everything about him softens, from his jaw and his gaze to the set of his shoulders and even the way he breathes. He nestles against her cheek as he carries her into the living room.
How's my princess? Did you miss Uncle Fletch?
I'm fairly certain my ovaries are going to explode. You okay, Blondie? Piper asks. I realize I'm still in the entryway, staring at Fletch, and try to shake it off. Uh-huh. Yeah, fine. Piper smirks. Would you believe that when Frankie was born, he wouldn't even hold her? That doesn't surprise me as much as seeing him morph into a marshmallow right before my eyes. What changed? My family had a baby boom, and Fletch had to sink or swim. Now he's Uncle Fletch, and all the kids adore him, but he still claims not to want a family of his own.
Don't be spilling my secrets, Pipe,
Fletch says earnestly, then turns a sweeter tone on Frankie.
Your mother has a big yapper.
His gaze flicks to me for only a heart-stopping second, but it's long enough for me to see the truth in them. He doesn't want a family. That's one more item on my checklist he fails to meet. I tell myself it's a good thing and use it to fuel the perspective that has been slipping through my fingers like sand all day. A burly, brown-haired man comes in through a sliding glass door on the other side of the room. He looks at Piper adoringly, and I know he's Harley. His hair is darker than Marshall's, but they're both bearded. Harley is beefier than Marshall, and he has no visible tattoos, but those aren't the things that set the brothers apart in my mind. It's that Harley doesn't immediately give off as much of a don't mess with me vibe as Marshall does. I know how loss can change a person, and I wonder if it changed Marshall or if he was always like that.
Da, da, da!
Frankie lunges toward Harley.
Whoa, careful, princess,
Fletch says, handing her over to Harley.
That's my baby girl.
Harley kisses her cheek.
Good to see you, Fletch. You too.
Fletch motions to me.
Harley, this is my friend, Destiny.
Hi, I wave. Thanks for letting us interrupt your evening.
No worries. Fletch is family, and we always have time for family.
He claps Fletch on the back.
Can you guys stick around for dinner? The dogs are having a blast. The grill is ready, and we've got plenty of food.
Fletch glances at me.
What do you think, sunshine?
I notice Piper and Harley exchanging a curious glance, which I assume is because of the endearment, and I wonder what they're thinking. That sounds great to me. I look at Piper. If you're sure it's not too much trouble. We wouldn't have it any other way, she says. While Harley and Fletch get dinner ready and take care of Frankie,
I fill Piper in on my business and describe the event for Arjun and the tower I'd like to have built. She shows me a sketch of a miniature Eiffel Tower she put together after getting Fletch's text yesterday, and explains how she'd build it and roughly what it will cost. It's more than I thought it would be, but I think Arjun will love the idea. That's exactly what I had in mind, I say. I have to finish the budget for my client and get his approval before I can give you the green light, and I still have to get prices from the roof cleaners and the florist and, well, basically everything at this point. But assuming my client loves the idea and approves the budget, how long do you need to build it, and how will we get it up on the roof of the restaurant? I can build it in a week, less if you're on a tight timeline. And as far as getting it onto the roof, leave that to me. I've already got some ideas. That's wonderful. You don't happen to know anyone who can make a cobblestone path on the roof that can be deconstructed after the event and who might have access to turf, do you? Sure do. But cobblestones are expensive. If you go with stone pavers, or even fake stone, it'll be much cheaper. The guy I'm thinking of often has extra stone from projects that he unloads cheap. I'll see if I can swing a deal for you. Are you sure you don't mind? Not at all. He owes me a favor. Did Fletch tell you that my big sister Bridget owns a floral shop? I bet she'd give you a great deal. He didn't mention her, but I'd love to talk with her. Piper writes down Bridget's phone number. Her shop is called The Secret Garden, and you can't miss it. It's in the center of town, and it adjoins our sister Willow's bakery, Sweetie Pies. I was just there getting lover boys to surprise Fletch. Is your sister also blonde and pregnant and a real talker? Yes, that would be Willow. I loved her, and those lover boys are delicious. Everything she makes is insanely good. You'll like Bridget, too. She's more low-key than Willow, but not as low-key as Talia. Talia. She's the one who's close to Fletch, right? Yeah, they both teach at Beckwith. They're two peas in a pod. Very cerebral. I get a twinge of jealousy, wondering if she's one of the women he's casually dated. Everyone thought they'd end up together, Piper says, turning that twinge into an uncomfortable knot. But then she fell in love with Derek, and now they're married with a family of their own, and Fletch has you. How long have you guys been seeing each other? Not that long. He's been helping me get organized with my business, and we hit it off. Piper's brow furrows. Let me get this straight. The guy who doesn't believe in love is helping you with your marriage proposal business? How did that happen? It's an embarrassing story. I tell her about the picnic proposal fiasco, which seems like it was ages ago. It's easier to laugh about it now and to admit how naive I was. The guys find us in stitches when they finish grilling, and as we sit down to eat, Piper relays the story to Harley. He teases us relentlessly. Fletch takes the opportunity to make fun of Piper and Harley's engagement, and I learn that when Harley proposed, Piper was so freaked out she ran away and tried to bury her love for him in donuts. Clearly, it didn't work, because there's so much love between them it fills the room. Fletch puts his hand on my leg, leaning closer to say,
"Maybe we should give them a do-over proposal."
His use of we burrows into my heart, and my perspective takes on that sand-like quality again, leaving me futilely trying to stop it from slipping through my fingers. When we leave Piper's, we chat the whole way back to my place, and as he pulls into my driveway, I'm not ready to say goodbye. That feeling has become a broken record when it comes to him, and I know I need to get my arms around it. He gathers my picnic blanket, towels, and the other things I brought with us, and walks me to the door. I fish out my key. Thanks for letting me crash your fishing buddy time with Molly, and for arranging for me to meet with Piper.
I'm glad you came with us.
I had the best time. I turn to unlock the door, and he slides an arm around me from behind. My pulse quickens.
I did too. I've been thinking about kissing you all night.
His warm lips trail over my neck, sending heat slithering through me. I fumble with the key and close my eyes, trying to center my thoughts.
Having trouble, sunshine?
It's a little hard to concentrate when you're doing that.
If my goodnight kisses only affect you a little, I'm doing something wrong. Is this better?
Those tender neck kisses turn to enticingly sensual open-mouthed kisses. My breath rushes from my lungs.
Let me help you.
He sets my things on the porch and reaches around me from behind again. His chest presses against my back as he takes the key from my hand and unlocks the door. I turn in his arms, the desire in his eyes wrapping around me like a ring of fire as our mouths come together and we devour each other. A voice whispers through my mind, telling me to protect my heart, but Ruby's voice barges in. Go for it. Satisfy your lust and enjoy every second of it, giving me the reinforcements I crave. Come inside, I say between fervent kisses.
That's probably not a good idea,
he rasps against my lips.
Two nights with you could become a habit.
No, it can't, I say, desperate for more. We have an expiration date. We're like a coupon that won't be valid after the wedding. He presses his smiling lips to mine.
And I won't stay the night.
Perfect. He recaptures my mouth and pushes the door open, kissing me as we stumble inside. We both break the kiss, saying, Molly, in unison. He curses, and I laugh as he runs outside to get her.
Chapter 18. Fletch. As Molly and I set out for an early